Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. Sports Radio 1043 The Fan presents Dan Jacobs.
All right, quickly out to the text line because we got to sneak in any flattering text I get before we get to James Merrillat. Football players are too emotional. That's why you are a way better analyst, Dan. Well, thank you, Mr. 6553. Hey-o. And then literally during the break, I was like trying to get Kyle Berry to read that back to me so he'd have to actually say those words. Not only would Kyle not do it, but then the very next text, Eric and Littleton writes in just smashing me, saying, I hate the Broncos and I hate you too. You suck. Or something like that. So it was kind of funny. The text line. She's a lovely lady. All right. James Merrillat, welcome to the program.
Hey, Dan. I didn't know there was such a thing as positive text. That's good to know.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, you don't seem to get a ton of every once in a while we'll get one for you, but
that's good. That's good.
So, you know, I love having you on the program, and we agree on about 99% of the things. But I always try and find something to get you with, you know.
Okay.
Because we agree so much, so most of the time you're right. So you're not wrong that often because you agree with me. However, your latest article on 1043thefan.com, which is beautiful, by the way. It's what I've been screaming for 6 months or however long. But it's about Joe Flacco. Now, the only thing I can ding you on, because you and I call them the suck-up media. You call them the media minions or whatever. But our point is the same, that they are just entranced with, you know, John Elway and the Broncos. And it's just, you know, they can't help themselves. But even you, my friend, we're all over, I guess, the Chiefs winning the Broncos beating the Chiefs.
Well, you know, I didn't think they'd lose 30-6. If you go on to the fan pick'em contest online and look at my picks for the week, which I'm usually terrible at this, by the way, so, you know, I'm not trying to brag about it, but I did pick the Chiefs in the one that was official. So I hemmed and hawed, I hedged and, you know, went back and forth. But I really thought they had a chance. I was buying into the way the defense was playing. And I thought the offense, you know, it had only been for a half in two games, but had shown some signs of life. I didn't expect what we saw on Thursday night. I mean, offensively, and look, they wound up giving up 30 points, but that defense at some point just waved the white flag of, you know, how many times do we have to stop them. But that was as anemic as I've seen an offense play. You know, their touchdown drives, I think the you know, biggest yardage came on two penalties that were somewhat gifts. So they virtually did nothing all night long. And, you know, in every other city, and even in this city with seemingly every other quarterback, that's who gets the blame. But for some reason, Joe Flacco escapes it here. It's the line. It's Rich Gangarello. It's he doesn't have any playmakers. It's just excuse after excuse for Joe. And I don't buy it. The quarterback's the most important position in sports. If you took Patrick Mahomes and put him on the Broncos right now with the exact same personnel around him, you can't tell me that they wouldn't be a better offense. So yeah, it's about the quarterback.
Why is it that Joe Flacco has gotten, you know, this? I understand he made like one funny joke at his press conference, and he has, you know, he's won a Super Bowl many moons ago. But his track record's pretty darn clear over the last 5 or 6 years. Why is it he's gotten this, you know, I don't want to call it a love affair because people don't seem to love the guy. And he, from what I've seen, really, it's not the fans. It's the media that have just given this guy pass after pass after pass, even though he's been, even in games that you could say he played well, he's been a ghost for most of those games. He'll have, you know, a couple good series or key points where he's played well, but he's disappeared the entire rest of the game. You know, usually he's disappeared for 2.5 to 3 quarters of every game. But it seems media that just love this guy.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I don't know, you know, part of me thinks, well, it's because he's so neutral, right? He's just so vanilla. He doesn't do anything that gets you excited, but he also doesn't do anything to get you kind of fired up. But Brian Griese was much the same way. And the media, you know, just picked on him incessantly. So I don't get it. I do think part of it, though, Dan, is with Drew Lock on injured reserve and Brandon Allen is the backup, there's no other option until Drew Lock comes off IR. So there's really no reason to kind of beat up the quarterback and call for a change. Like, well, what are they going to go to? Nobody wants to see him go to Brandon Allen. Nobody thinks that would be an improvement. So, you know, if Drew Lock hadn't hurt his thumb and was the backup quarterback, I like to believe that, you know, 2 or 3 or 4 weeks ago, we'd have started to hear at least some rumblings about, hey, Joe Flacco is not getting it done. Right now, there's just no other option. So I think it's just, you know, it's kind of that old idea that you'd be outside screaming at the moon. What's the point of it? But Drew Lock's right around the corner. The Broncos should be taking the task for putting him on IR to begin with and putting him in this situation and not having him practice last week so you could move it up a week. Like, they just keep making mistake after mistake. But that's the only answer I can come up with, because he's leading an offense that's averaging 16 points a game. Any other quarterback who's ever played in this town would just be getting ripped on a daily basis, and for the most part, he's escaped criticism.
Now, the interesting thing about what you brought up is the Drew Lock. Yeah, nobody's saying that, you know, Allen should be coming in, but Flacco's escaped criticism time after time. We've heard people say, well, Flacco's not the problem. But the Drew Lock thing is what worries me, because that's the excuse they'll use to say we shouldn't play Drew Lock. And Kyle Berry actually brought this up earlier in the show. Their next game is at the Colts. I don't think they're going to win that game, but they could win that game. There's no reason they couldn't win that game other than they're a complete disaster. But let's say they win that game on the road against, you know, a decent, not a really good Colts team now that Andrew Luck's gone. But they win that game. You think, what are we going to hear from the Flacco apologists? Well, you can't put in Drew Lock now, right? I mean, they'll use any excuse they can to keep Joe Flacco in and Drew Lock on the bench, will they not?
Yeah, no, they certainly will. And you'll hear, you've already started to hear it, right? Of, oh, you can't put Drew Lock out there behind this offensive line. I mean, that'll just get the guy killed, and it'll, you know, his confidence will be destroyed and it'll ruin his career and blah, blah, blah. It's just, I don't buy any of that. But the reality is, because they didn't bring any of these guys off IR and let them start practicing last week and get that, you know, that clock running, you know, they could have had them back by week 9, which is a home game against Cleveland. Now it's week 10, which is a bye. So it's really week 11. And they play 4 out of the 5 games after the bye on the road, including Minnesota and Buffalo to start. Like, that's not a good place to roll out Drew Lock. So, you know, to me, you should have been figuring out, hey, how do you have him ready to go if we're in a position where the team stinks and he can start the home game against Cleveland? That seems to make a lot of sense to me, but they mismanaged the situation and bungled it. The other part of it is, like I said, they put him on IR because they needed a roster spot for who? Who was that 53rd guy that they just had to make sure he was, you know, on the roster so they could have Juwan Winfrey be inactive every week? It just made no sense to me, because, you know, he's been throwing the football and doing stuff for 4 or 5 weeks now. He would have been ready to go by week 4 or 5. And they panicked and put him on IR and figured, we're going to be fine with Joe. We're not going to play him anyway. So what's the point? Well, now at 2 and 5, you'd be sitting there going, hey, it'd be nice to roll out Lock. So it's just been poorly managed by the Broncos, but you're right. They're going to have apologists saying, yeah, you can't put him in now. And it's not Joe's fault. And they're 3 and 5 or they're 4 and 5. My guess is we will not see Drew Lock until maybe those last two games of the year when they play Detroit here. And, I forget who the finale is. That'll probably be Drew Lock time. Until then, we're going to have to suffer through more Joe Flacco.
You're making me cringe. And the sad part is and I know that's not what you want to see, but that's what you're predicting we will see. And you're probably right. This is what's sad. You know, somebody talked smack to me on Facebook, you know, cause I'm a long-suffering Dolphins fan. Everybody knows that. Everybody likes to kill me for it. And somebody's like, give me a hard time on Facebook about, you know, early in the season when they thought the Broncos were going to be good, even though they weren't, and they were making fun of, you know, the Dolphins. I said, well, at least we're going to have a quarterback next year, right? Because the Dolphins are going to have the number one pick in the draft, probably. And
yeah,
this mindset, this win-now garbage that he sold us, and this mindset of they're still going to try – and get themselves out of draft position just to try and save face. And I don't advocate straight up tanking, but find out what you have so you can plan for the future. And John Elway seems to have no ability to step outside the present to plan for the future. primarily because of his ego and he can't take the losses. Is it now to the point where somebody finally has to say, it's like in a casino, somebody says, go see him. Maybe it's time for him to step down. Like, is it time for somebody to have, you know, pull John away in the parking lot in the old Cadillac and say, maybe you should step away?
Well, maybe you ought to step away, or, you know, maybe you need to start planning for the future. But, you know, I mean, and you're right. He doesn't seem to have any ability to do that. And I get it. He's a competitive guy, and nobody that's wired that way wants to lose now to win down the road. But really, they need to look at the rest of this year the way the Rams treated Jared Goff's rookie year. He played the last seven games, went 0-7, did not look particularly good. I remember a game that Troy Aikman was the color analyst on and just shredded him. But he, you know, learned those things that you can only learn by getting live reps, made those mistakes in games that, yeah, they counted, but they didn't really matter for the Rams. They were going to be bad anyway. So if you miss the playoffs by two games, you miss the playoffs by nine games, what's the difference? Just get a better draft pick. So that's what the Broncos need to do with Drew Lock. And I don't care, you know, they won't play him at Minnesota and they won't play him at Buffalo, but they should, because you know what? If he's the quarterback of the future, he's going to have to play in places like Minnesota and Buffalo. It's not like, you know, those two teams are the 85 Bears. It's laughable how it seems like they're setting up that they're going to coddle the guy. But yeah, they have to think about the future. At this point, after losing on Thursday night, the rest of the season is about 2020 and beyond. Find out what you have. Play the kids. And I actually think they're in a pretty good position. That's what I'm going to write for tomorrow. They're in a pretty good position to rebuild because they're not starting at scratch. They do have some good young players in Cortland Sutton and Dalton Risner and Bradley Chubb. Like, they've got some guys that you could see being the core here in 5 years. They don't have a quarterback. They may, but we don't know it. So if they don't answer that question and find out, is Drew Lock the guy we want to, you know, invest time and energy in for the next 2 or 3 years, if they don't find the answer to that question the rest of the season, then it's a total and absolute failure. I don't care if they go 2-14. I really don't. You got to answer that question. And if he's not the guy, well, great. You're 2-14. You're going to pick second behind Miami, and you can take one of the quarterbacks. It's just they're not going to go that route, and it's infuriating.
All right, James. I'm going to address the Vic Fangio thing next segment, but you know that's something that I would love to see on 104.3thefan.com. Vic Fangio, basically, also getting, you know, there's this love affair with him. I don't know exactly what he's done to earn all this adulation, given the state of this team. But look forward to all your stuff on 104.3thefan.com and appreciate your time.
Yeah, you bet. We all owe Vance Joseph an apology. I'll just leave you with that.
Ooh, there we go. He leaves us wanting more. James Merrillat. Thank you, sir. It's the Dan Jacobs Show. You can react to James Merrillat coming up next.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC. First
Bank. Banking for good.